have your Bibles tonight, I would love for you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And I want you to be able to see and to listen. Preachers shouldn't say this very much, but I guess I will say it. I'm really only preaching to one person tonight. The rest of you just get to listen in. But I want to preach tonight just to Brother Nick. And it's an honor to be able to preach to him tonight on the night that we ordain him. I want you to listen in. I think you'll glean from it. But I want you to reckon from your pastor preaching a message to a young man who's getting ready to be ordained to the gospel preaching ministry. And I just want you to kind of listen as I share my heart with him. Brother Nick, I want to preach to you tonight and charge you tonight on the importance of the call of God upon your life. Lorena, you being his wife, you may not be called to the gospel preaching ministry, but you're called to the gospel preacher. And you're part of the call. And the two of you together will serve the Lord. I'd like you to look at verse number 16, if you would. The Apostle Paul is writing here, and he makes this statement: "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Brother Nick, that is a statement that can only be fully understood by the God called man. There are other men in this room that have been ordained to the gospel preaching ministry. There are other men in this room, and you know the call of God upon your life of necessity. You know, and burning within you is a desire that you cannot explain, one that you did not fully search out of yourself, but there has been placed upon you by God himself the call to preach the gospel. The Apostle Paul knew that call so powerfully in his life that there was a woefulness to him if he not preach the gospel of the Lord. I truly believe that this can fully only be understood by those of us that have had this call upon our lives. And I believe that this call burns so passionately and so powerfully that we can do nothing but preach the gospel. There will be many times that the steadfast assurance in your life of God's call will sustain you. There will be many times when you'll want to turn back. There will be many times when you will want to quit. There will be many times when it will be difficult. Most people only see this part of the gospel preaching ministry. They don't see that part of the gospel preaching ministry. Many men have misunderstood the call of God. Many men have let others call them. They've let family members call them. They've let preachers call them. They've let friends call them. But the only sustaining call upon our life is the call that God puts upon us. And you will find that you can do nothing else. They used to tell us in Bible college, if you can go and do something else, go do it. But I found that the call of God upon my life brings me to a focus that I cannot do anything else but preach the gospel. Others will not understand this. Others will respect it. They will support it. They will encourage you, but this is something between you and the Lord. Paul's making this statement at a very peculiar time in his life. He's having to make this statement as the deep, honest motive of his life, the motive of his ministry. Paul is being challenged in his life. Matter of fact, if you look at verse number 3, Paul makes it very clear: "Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. The Apostle Paul finds himself being challenged as to his calling, finds himself being challenged as to his motive, finds himself being challenged as to the honesty of his heart. Matter of fact, in verse number 1, they're questioning whether or not he's even an apostle. They're questioning whether or not he's even seen the risen Lord Jesus. Matter of fact, they're questioning his ability to work for the Lord. In verse number 2, they're questioning the seal of the apostleship upon his life. As you look at verses 4 and 5 and 6, they're putting stipulations upon him that are not fair. And they're examining him. And really and truthfully, they're trying to pick him apart as to his motive and his purpose. I need you to understand tonight, Brother Nick, that the ordained preacher of the gospel will always face examination. You will always face examination. You will face examination from the fear of your own heart and your own mind. You will face examination from foes that will come against you. You will face examination from those that do not understand. But there will be the great support of you knowing in your heart that God Himself has called you to the full-time preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As they examine you, my prayer tonight is that they will see the Lord Jesus. I charge you, sir, in verse number 12. Would you look at that? Apostle Paul writes, if others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power. And it's a deeper part of the passage. But Paul says, I've suffered all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ. The call of God upon your life is powerful and wonderful. It is precious. It is sustaining. It will always be examined. And the devil will always look to use the man of God to hinder the gospel preaching of his word. And I submit to you, be careful. Be careful. You will never be able to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot preach a clean gospel and not be clean yourself. You cannot preach with God's power and not have God's power upon your life. You cannot stand up and herald men about this great salvation if you do not know the joy of God's salvation in your own life. You cannot encourage men to walk by faith if you do not walk by faith yourself. You cannot encourage men and women to have holy marriages if you're not holy in your marriage. You must understand that Satan will try to do whatever he can to use you or to attack you to hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a great privilege to be called, but it's a great responsibility to make sure that my life is not one that hinders the gospel. Paul's being examined in this. And as his defense in verse number 16, and his ultimate motive in this examination, really and truthfully, as you study the subject of the chapter, he says it's not money, it's not fame, it's not authority or power, it's not anything for the reason that I preach other than that necessity that is laid upon me. And here's what the Apostle Paul says about the call of God on his life. Four things. Don't ever forget them, bud. First off, Paul says in verse 16, I can't glory about this call in of my own self because this is God's call upon my life. That ought to humble you. That ought to encourage you. And that ought to scare you to death. That God Himself has called you. The fact that God has called you is the fact that He's done it from His own mind, from His own will, from His own understanding. The fact that this is not your plan, but God's plan. This is why God redeemed you. This is why God created you. This is the purpose that God has upon your life. Therefore, never for a moment disrespect the call of God. Never for a moment take it for granted. Never for a moment in ministry assume glory that belongs to God. I should get an amen on that one. It's very easy to assume glory. But everything that happens in your life from this point forward in the preaching of the gospel is because God has called you. Never forget that. Paul goes on to say, because of the call of God upon my life, I cannot glory. There's a necessity that is laid upon me. Paul says, I'm compelled to do this. There is a drive in me. He talks about his will in verse number 17. Paul says, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Paul's not saying here that he's an unwilling servant, Nick. What he is distinguishing here is what was optional for him and what was obligatory for him. Paul's reckoning that he's been given a stewardship. He's reckoning he's been given a commission. He understands that a steward receives no pay. Paul's basically saying, I'm like a slave that is serving a master. I've been assigned a task and I want to perform my task faithfully. The compelling drive to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never let the fires die. Never let them grow cold. I trust and pray that as you search the word of God, that this compulsion will just continue to increase and to increase and to increase. Whether people listen or whether they don't. Whether people respond or they don't. Whether you feel like you've done a good job or whether you have not. There is a compulsion of necessity laid on the man of God who is called. What does that mean? If you're truly called, 10 years from now, you'll still be preaching. And I know you will. And I'm excited for you. Others may not understand this compulsion. Others may have reason why that this would not or should not take place. But you always run back to the fact that God has called me. And to a man, every woman in this room must do what God calls them to do. Willingly. God loves for us to be willing. God does not want to have to battle his servant. He wants his servant to be willing. He does not want there to be an unwillingness found in the ministering of the gospel. He does not want there to be an unwillingness found in the preaching of the gospel. There is a reward, Brother Nick. There is a reward to this calling. Verse number 18 says, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. I want you to hold your hand here, and I want you to go to Romans chapter 10. And I want to show you something in Romans chapter 10, and I'll finish my charge with this passage. Would you pick up in verse number 9? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. By the way, if you've done that, would you say amen? Amen. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a what class? A preacher. Sir, you're the preacher God's called. How will they hear without the preacher? How will they call without the preacher? verse number 15. How shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. What is the reward to the man who's called by God? The reward to the man who's called by God is the fact that they get to serve God in a way that is very unique, very powerful, very moving. You get the wonderful privilege to herald the gospel of Jesus Christ. You get the wonderful privilege to make the gospel available to those that need it. You get the wonderful privilege to watch men and women hear the gospel and be able to be redeemed and be saved and be delivered from their sin and know heaven as their home. You get to walk with God in the way that not others walk with God. Very much is given to the man called by God, but very much is responsible to that man as well. This is not your doing. This is God's doing. I want you to know something. God's not interested in how big a church you have one day. And God's not interested in how much you do for him. God's interested that you walk with him and do what he wants you to do. And I have watched God take churches away from men. I have watched God remove men. And I have watched God humble men that assume his glory. Be very careful and respectful that God gets his glory. The compulsion, the drive. Most of the time, the man that God calls has certain gifts that other men don't have. He has the ability to do certain things. There will always be a challenge to preach the gospel in my own ability without the power of God. Never let that compulsion get you ahead of the Lord. You stay on your knees. You stay filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You stay in the Word of God. And you let the power of the Spirit of God compel you as he preaches. And you do it willingly. And you realize the great reward that will be there for the souls of men and of women. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Amen. Amen. Shall we pray?